Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is where we're going to start tonight. We've been looking at this one. This is our series is called Healing Belongs to Us. And the message tonight is Hear and Be Healed. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But Acts 10, 38, I know we mentioned this a lot, but there's just so much wonderful truth here and revelation that we need to see. So I want to read it for us. Acts 10, 38 says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Praise God. So in this verse, we have revealed to us, number one, the source of sickness. The source of sickness. Sickness does not come from God. We see that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil. Sickness is satanic oppression. Sickness, disease, is oppression from the devil. It was never part of God's original plan. It's a product of man's sin and fall in the Garden of Eden and Satan becoming the god of this world, the Bible calls him. So sickness is satanic oppression. It's not from God. And so that tells us that. It's the source of sickness is Satan. We also find in this passage, in this verse, that healing is God's will for all. Jesus went about doing good and healing who?
All.
Healing all. He went about doing good and healing all. So we see here that healing is God's will for all. Jesus expressed God's will in every action in his ministry, didn't he? He said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He also said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. So everything he did was an expression of the will of God. He healed all who came to him. We never read one time in the Gospels where someone came to him and asked for healing where he said, I'm sorry, it's not my will and it's not the Father's will that you be healed. You're going to have to stay sick. Not one time. Amen. Not one time. Amen?
Amen.
Another thing we find in this is that healing is good. Healing is good. Jesus went about what?
Doing good and healing.
So healing is good. Amen. And we see that in other scriptures as well. One we mentioned last week, but I want to look at it again. Luke 6, chapter 6 through 10, it says, Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, Arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to what?
To do good.
To do good. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So what did Jesus do on the Sabbath? He did good. And what good did he do? He healed the man, right? He healed the man who had that withered hand. So healing is good. Jesus did good and brought healing to this man. Praise God. Matthew 7:11 says this, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what? Good things to who? To those who ask him. Well, that would include healing, not limited to, but it would include healing, wouldn't it? Because we already found out healing is a good thing. We already found out healing is good. So Jesus said, your Father in heaven will give good things or give healing to those who ask him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he will. And yes, he does. Praise God. Psalm 84:11 says this, more about good things. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold. Since we know healing is a good thing, we could say it this way. No healing will he withhold.
Amen.
God is not withholding your healing. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. And then next, we find out this. We find out that Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says God anointed And here back in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing. So the Holy Spirit was the agent. The Holy Spirit was the agent through which Jesus did the healing. Amen? Now here's something we need to consider. We have the same Holy Spirit today. Somebody said, well, if Jesus were just here on the earth, and if I could see Jesus, and if I could touch him like the woman with the issue of blood did, I know I'd be healed. Well, the agent of healing in the ministry of Jesus was the Holy Spirit, and he's here. He's here. He's here. Amen. We have the same Holy Spirit today. Amen. So the Holy Spirit was the agent of healing. But what method did Jesus use? The Holy Spirit was the agent of healing, but Jesus used a method to bring healing. Not every time, but very consistently. Very consistently, we see Jesus employing this method. And we see it here in Luke chapter 4 as he begins his ministry. You know, Jesus was baptized by John, right, in the Jordan River. Immediately after his baptism by John in the Jordan River, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right, and was tempted by the devil. Jesus overcame every temptation by speaking the Word of God. Satan would tempt him, and Jesus would say, "It is written," right, over and over. And then after that, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And it says, so we pick it up then right after that in verse 16. It says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Our group went to Nazareth when I went to Israel back in last November. And so this is where Jesus was raised. As Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth. And then they ended up, of course, going to Bethlehem, because Joseph had to register for the census in Bethlehem. That was his ancestral family. His family home was Bethlehem. And so they went to Bethlehem and registered, and that's when Jesus was born. And then after that, they stayed in Bethlehem for probably a couple years. And then how do we know that? Well, because when Herod ordered the male children killed, he says, kill all of them 2 years old and under, making sure that he got Jesus. Yeah. And the Bible says when the wise men came, he wasn't a baby, he was a young child. Okay. All right, so that's all extra tonight. I won't charge you for that. Okay. And so you know that while they were there in Bethlehem, in a dream, the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and warned him, saying, they're going to try to kill your child. Go down to Egypt. And so they went to Egypt and they stayed there. And then when Herod died, the Lord's angel spoke in a dream, said, those who seek the child's life are dead. You can go back home now. So they went back to Nazareth. Okay. All right. And so that's where Jesus grew up. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus went to church every Sabbath day. Amen. That was his custom. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I want you to notice what Jesus was doing here. He was declaring his mission. He was declaring his mission. He went into the synagogue and he declared. He found in the book of Isaiah, he found this scripture, which we know as Isaiah 61. And he began to read from it. And he said, he's declaring his mission. And after he got through reading, he said, "I'm telling you, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He said, "I'm not reading something from the past. I'm not reading a prophecy of the future. I'm telling you what is fulfilled today." Amen. Praise God. So he was declaring his mission. And I want you to notice that three times he talked about speaking or preaching or proclaiming. Notice what he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So three times Jesus mentions his speaking ministry. Preach, proclaim, proclaim. All right? So he was declaring his ministry, or his mission there. And he says to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And who were they oppressed by?
The devil.
The devil, right. He went about healing, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So he went into the synagogue and he began to teach and to preach. So what happened as he was teaching, preaching, and proclaiming? What was happening on the other end of that? People were what? They were hearing, weren't they?
Yes.
People were hearing, right?
Yes.
Amen. And let's look at some more scriptures that talk about that. Matthew 4:23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Did you notice that the healing came after the preaching and the teaching? Teaching and preaching came first, and then the healing came. So we're discovering Jesus' method. The agent that brought healing was the Holy Spirit, but the method by which people were healed that Jesus employed was teaching and preaching so they could hear, and then the healing occurred. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. In Luke 5:15, it says this, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to what? To hear and to be healed. Everybody say, hear and be healed.
Hear and be healed.
They came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Praise God. That's why it's good that if you have an attack of sickness or disease or pain or whatever, that you just take the Bible out, take the Word of God out, and begin to read out loud healing scriptures to yourself. Or if you want to, you can pull up on YouTube, on your phone, Brother Hagin's healing scriptures is right there. I've done that many times. Just pull that thing up and listen to an hour and 15 minutes of healing scriptures. Praise God. You usually fall asleep listening to it. But that's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. But that hearing brings faith. Amen. God's word is medicine to our flesh, we read in Proverbs. Amen. So it's important, but I would recommend just finding the healing scriptures and reading them out loud to yourself. You're hearing yourself read it. You're hearing yourself say it. Amen? And then just make a declaration, make a confession out of that. Praise God. All right, so here's a point, a statement that you might want to write down. Divine healing is received by faith. Divine healing is received by faith, and faith comes by hearing. That's why hearing is important. That's why Jesus taught and preached so people could hear, so they could have faith, so they could be healed, because faith comes by hearing. You see the progression? Amen. Divine healing is received by faith, and faith comes by hearing. Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. They came to Jesus' service. They came to Jesus' meeting with a purpose, with an expectation. They came to hear and to be healed. Amen. We ought to come to a service. We ought to come to a meeting the same way. We ought to come with a purpose, to hear and to be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. They came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Hallelujah. Amen. So when they heard, faith came. And when you hear, and when I hear, faith will come. But what do we do when faith comes? You know, that's the thing we need to move into next and understand. So what do we do? What do I do when faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, but what do I do with it then? What do I do when faith comes? Is that it? Is that it? Just that faith comes? And do I just need to hear? Or is there another step? Is there something else? Well, let's look at the woman with the issue of blood, at her case, and let's see that. Mark chapter 5, and verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus. I'm not stuck. I'm just wanting this to sink in tonight. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" So she's this woman. Let's stop right there for a moment. So she's been sick for 12 years. She's suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all her money. She wasn't getting any better. She was getting worse. She probably was feeling pretty hopeless about her condition, wasn't she? 12 years and no better. And she spent all her money, but she heard about Jesus. Praise God. And the first thing that came was hope. And faith came along with hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so then the next thing that happened was, it's the way it's worded here, it sounds like she came and then she said. It mentions the coming before it mentions the saying. But actually, if you read through it and look at it carefully, you understand that she heard and then she said and then she came. Notice it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said. So we know the saying came before the coming, right? So she heard, and she began to say, "If I touch his body, or if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole." And then she came. Amen. All right. So verse 28 or 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. When did she feel it? After she believed it. Not before. Amen. She didn't feel it until after she had acted her faith. Feeling comes after faith, not before faith. Amen. So she heard, and then she said, and then she came. She wasn't feeling anything. In fact, she was probably feeling pretty weak and pretty run down when she came. But she said, "If I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If I touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And she came, and she pressed through that crowd, and she touched him. And his power, the power of God went into her then, and then she felt it. Amen? Then she felt it. Hallelujah. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you. You say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter,'" what? What's the next two words? Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. If her faith could make her well, your faith can make you well. If her faith could make her well, then your faith can make you well. Don't you know it's true? Amen. He didn't say, "But you're just some special case here. This is not for everybody." No. Daughter, your faith. Over and over, Jesus told people, "According to your faith, be it unto you. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." As he told her, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Praise God. Now notice this. She didn't hear directly from Jesus at the beginning. She heard about him, right? She heard about him. Somebody told her about Jesus, but faith still came. It didn't have to be Jesus speaking to her for faith to come. Just somebody telling her about Jesus caused faith to come. We don't have to hear it directly from Jesus. We can hear it somebody telling us what Mark said about Jesus. We can read that and faith will come. Me talking to you about what Jesus did here can cause and does cause faith to come. You hearing your own self read the Bible causes faith to come. Amen? Praise God. So she heard, she said, and she came and touched. In other words, she acted and power went out from Jesus. Amen? Somebody might say, well, it's too bad, as we said earlier, that Jesus isn't here today, you know. If I could just touch Jesus, I'd be made well. Notice Jesus didn't say, daughter, because you touched me, you were made well. Did he say that? No. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Again, how did Jesus heal? What was the agent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the agent through which Jesus healed. And again, let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit here today? He's present. His power is present everywhere, Dad Hagin used to teach. The power of God is present everywhere. The anointing is present everywhere now. We can tap into it by faith anywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. Now that Jesus has gone to the cross, risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, and poured out the Holy Spirit, that power, healing power, can be accessed anytime, anywhere, by anyone. Anytime, anywhere, by anyone. Do you believe it? That healing power can be accessed anytime, anywhere, by anyone. If they will hear, and faith will come, and they believe, and they act, then they can access that. Anyone can access that power anytime, anywhere. Because the Holy Spirit's here. He's been poured out. Amen? Praise God. Mark chapter 2. Let's look at another example, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And what's the next statement say? He did what? He preached the word to them. And he preached the word to them. I want you to remember that. He preached the word to them. Now we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is the very same incident that Luke is reporting on, that Mark reported on in Mark 2. It's actually the healing of the man that was paralyzed, that his four friends brought him in on a stretcher, and they ended up having to tear the roof off and lower him down. So this is the same account, same incident, all right? Mark tells us that Jesus preached the word to them. And in Luke 5:17, it says, now it happened on a certain day as he was what?
Teaching.
So Jesus was there, and we know he was teaching and preaching, right? He was teaching and he was preaching the word to them. It says that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And notice this. What's the next statement say? Okay, we don't know. Okay, there it is. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. What caused the power of the Lord to be present to heal them? Jesus was teaching and preaching. Because Jesus was teaching and preaching, That caused the power of the Lord to be present to heal. Why? Because the power of the Lord is accessed by faith, and faith comes by hearing. Jesus was teaching and preaching so faith could come, and he did. And the power of the Lord was present because God watches over his word to perform it as well. The Holy Spirit works with the word, doesn't he? Amen? Yes, he does. Amen. And it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And you know the rest of the story. You know, they lower him down. Jesus saw him and said, "Son, your sins be forgiven you." And they got all the Pharisees that were there to find some reason to accuse him, got all upset. And they said, "This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sin but God alone?" He said, "Okay, let me rephrase that. Rise and walk." He said, "So that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "Rise and walk." And he took up his bed and walked. Praise God. Amen. But how'd that happen? He was preaching, he was teaching, he was preaching the word. And because of that, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen? Praise God. All right. Notice this. None of the Pharisees, there's no record of any of them getting healed. Even though they were there, why? They were not hearing with an expectation. They were hearing in order to bring accusation. Amen? Praise God. But this man, with the help of his four friends and their faith, accessed the healing power. Amen. We'll look at just one more exam, and then I'm going to let you get home before dark. It was dark before you got here tonight, wasn't it? All right. Acts 14, verse 7. It says, and they were... So this is talking about Paul, the ministry of Paul. See, he followed the same pattern. He used the same method. Amen. It's a divine method that we should use today. Amen. Acts 14, that's why I'm teaching you tonight. That's why we have these services like this. Acts 14, verse 7, it says, and they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting. So what were they doing? They were preaching the gospel in this town called Lystra. And there was a certain man without strength in his feet, and he was sitting. He was a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. And he's an adult now. This man heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking? Yes, speaking. He was speaking the gospel or preaching the gospel. We know that from verse 7. So this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Where did that come from? Yes, from hearing the gospel, Paul perceiving that he had faith to be healed. But again, is it enough just to hear? No, hearing is a necessary step, but the man hears the gospel, hears Paul preaching, and Paul perceives or seeing, that means Paul had a perception, seeing that he had faith to be healed. He's got faith to be healed, but he's still sitting there crippled. See, a lot of times, I think our condition, our situation is not that we don't have faith, we just haven't released it. We just haven't exercised it. And so this man had faith to be healed, but he's sitting there crippled. So Paul understood by the Spirit he needed to help the man out. And so he's sitting there, he's got faith to be healed, but the man doesn't know what to do next. I mean, this first time he's heard any of this. And yet, think about this too. I hope when we get to heaven, I get to hear that sermon. From this one message that Paul preaches, a man that's crippled from birth and has never walked has faith that he can be healed. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you know, Paul had the gospel that Paul preached had to be so positive about the fact that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he took our sicknesses and our diseases, and with his stripes we are healed, and whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved, not only saved from their sin, but that saved means healed, it means delivered. It had to be something along that line. Amen? It had to be. So he's sitting there, he's got faith to be healed. And so in verse 10 it says, Paul, perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." This just shocked the man. Whoa, I better get... And before he knew it, he had gotten up and he leaped. The Bible says he leaped and walked. Hallelujah. He leaped and walked. Praise God. So the gospel is the same today, isn't it? What healed that man? Well, what healed him was hearing the gospel. Faith came, the preaching of the gospel, and the hearing of the gospel, and faith coming. The gospel hasn't passed away. Amen? If it has, we're all in a heap of trouble. Nobody can be saved. Right? The gospel is the same today. This man didn't touch Jesus. Jesus physically is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, but faith came when he heard the gospel. Amen? And he released his faith when Paul said, stand up, when Paul said in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. The man was startled. I think that's how it happened. I think he just got startled. Ha! You know, like when Brother Randy used to preach and we're all listening so intently and then he goes, wah! You know, makes us jump about 3 feet off of our seat. He used to do me that way anyway. Hallelujah. So you've heard tonight. Amen? Faith has come tonight. So release your faith. Release your faith tonight. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand up and praise God. That's a great way to release your faith.